Go. No, I have to make you take really good notes. All right, we're on. We're recording. We're doing great. Everything's hunky-dory. We are talking about Title VII and the concept of adverse impact, which my astute students know is direct one-to-one intentional discrimination based on protected group status. I'm not hiring you because you're filling the protected group. That being an intentional decision by the supervisor or whoever is fairly easy to understand. But as we move down through this discussion, it'll get a little bit more confusing as we bring in a new form of illegal discrimination, which was originated here in North Carolina, actually. There are exceptions to this under the concepts of not being able to hire based on protected group. If I wrote up here on the board, race, creed, color, national origin, and gender, which two would you surmise would be still legal if it was job-related?
Gender.
Gender, because, for example, can you give me a place where gender would be appropriate?
Prison guards.
Pardon?
Prison guards.
Prison guards, did I tell you this already?
Yeah.
Okay, prison guards is cool. Did I tell you about my experience with my students in Shenzhen, China? It's pretty cool. They went out to, because the other one is restroom attendant. So people there. All right, so there we are in China, and my kids go out to watch a movie. All my students go out. There's like 15 of them wandering the streets of Shenzhen. And all of a sudden, there's this stampede of concerned feet on the floor. I can hear them running up the stairs. They come bursting into my room. They're very upset because they went to see a movie and they were using the bathroom, I guess, all together to make them feel more comfortable. And the fella came over and started rubbing their back. In the bathroom of the Chinese movie theater. And so they freaked out. And they all, I hope, finished their business and ran home. And were concerned that this society here in China was way over the top for them, and they all wanted to go home to their mothers or something along that line, failing to realize that this is normal practice in these places because the washroom attendants will give you a little rub down on your shoulders or whatever in order to get a tip, right? And it's normal cultural procedure over there, but being somewhat different than what you would find in the bathrooms here at ASU, they were freaked out by this. So I had to explain the cultural difference of washroom attendants here. But washroom attendant is another area where gender is a not illegal protected group discriminator. One other one besides gender. What's the other one?
Age
isn't on this list yet. It will be under the Age Discrimination and Employment Act, the ADEA, but that's not for a little bit yet. What's the other one on this list? Come on, race, creed, color, national origin, and gender.
Creed,
religion, of course. If you're hiring for the Catholic Church, are you going to be required to hire druids for your ministers? No, of course not. Tree huggers are not applicable to the Catholic Church, etc. So what we're looking at here then is the concept that creed is appropriate, there's an if here, if the individual will be in contact with the congregation. So that means that ministers and people that are working in the church when the parishioners come in and this and that can be distinguished in terms of hiring based on creed. Okay? But not if it has to do with people who, not if you're hiring people that are going to mow the lawn or prune the trees or whatever, because they're not in contact with the congregation. What would you say if a court case came up for people parking cars at the church, maybe? Just leave your car and somebody parks it for you. Would you be able to, from what I've said, to discriminate based on creed?
No. Yes. I think it's right, but yes.
It is yes. And so, because they're in contact with parishioners. Here's one that I like even better, because it was so much fun talking to this student. I had a student who was your age, who I got to know. He's a pretty cool guy. We used to sit around BS for a while. And eventually he said, you know, I got a job after I graduate. And I said, what are you going to do? He says, I'm working for Samaritan's Purse. I'm going over to Kenya, I think, and fixing their hydroelectric generator.
Wow.
That's what I said, too. You dumb man. Tell me all about it. So he proceeded to launch into the various problems that are at this Samaritan Purse Hospital hydroelectric generator. And it wasn't generating, and it's necessary for the hospital and all the equipment and blah, 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 blah. And I said, geez, that's fantastic. And he said, yeah. And I said, do you have to be a Christian to do this? And he said, yes. I passed the I'm a Christian test. And I said, cool. Because he will be, even though he's fixing the hydroelectric generator, apparently being on the campus of that hospital, he's going to be in contact with parishioners. And so he had to be able to talk to them about the nature of Christianity and whatnot, which I thought was really interesting. And I asked him how he got started, and he said, oh, I just sort of worked on a farm, and then they had a problem here at ASU with some little experiment thing. He got into it. Pretty cool. So, in that situation, that's a reasonable, possible discriminatory consideration. Otherwise illegally discrimination. Are there other possibilities? We might as well get into this discussion before we go any further down the road. Are there any other of these protected groups that might be an issue? We've already mentioned it, and I haven't given it the blessing yet. There's a particular restaurant that I need you to talk to me about. There is not one, there's no section that has ever gone through this tutelage in 26 years that hasn't mentioned it to me.
Hooters.
Let's talk about Hooters. Did I get started on this already? Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. So my point is on this, that and apparently there's bars here in Boone, too, that do this. Restaurants or bars. That they only hire co-eds. Is that still the word for girl students?
Yeah.
Okay. Co-eds to work as wait staff at the restaurants, and the guys work in the back in the kitchen. It's illegal. All of that's illegal. And so eventually the manure is going to hit the proverbial fan when these people get dragged into court about this because they have no leg to stand on.
What about when you're hiring for like a strip club?
Strip club is one of those things where they say it is a bona fide occupational qualification for the business aspects of this company. Do I think that they should be able to do it? My belief is no, because in all other categories, protected group and customer demand is not a criteria for illegally discriminating.
Well, wouldn't Hooters and strip club be under the same umbrella?
Except that when Hooters gets their business license, they apply to a town, we're going to use this lot to build the new restaurant. What do they put on that? Do they put, we'll be a strip club serving food?
What?
You know what they put? Family restaurant.
Which is hilarious.
Huh?
Just a joke, really.
The whole thing's a big joke. They shouldn't be able to do it anyway, because it's a customer preference. Their primary reason for being there is to serve food, right? Yes, Dr. Fox, it's a restaurant, damn it. It's not there as a restaurant slash strip joint. Is it? No, it's not supposed to be. They didn't put it in their authorization for a zoning permit. Can you imagine if you owned a house maybe a block or two behind the Hooters? Would you rather it be a Hooters or a regular, reasonable quality restaurant? Pardon? Come on.
If their food was better, I'd Hooters.
Don't even think about that. What about your, talk about your house value. Talk about your house value and your kids.
Well, my kids are grown, so I don't care.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Anything else, yeah.
It's ridiculous. The whole concept is absurd that they get away with this. But
they're not the only company that's doing
I know, I told you about my restaurant, didn't I already? My skinhead Nazi restaurant? Hell yeah. We're all getting 6'2" tall guys with blonde hair. Nobody else need apply. They're all going to have swastikas carved in their forehead. It's the nature of my wait staff requirement. And all my customers are going to be jackbooted swastika-toting asshole people. All right. So what's going to happen? How long will I be in business? I'm only hiring white, Anglo, tall people that are Aryan, I guess is the word.
You never get the doors open.
I'd never get the doors open because it would be barred. The police would be beating on my house to drag me off to the Hooskow, right? It would be illegal. But yet somehow Hooters gets away with it. Don't ask me. Yet if I had my restaurant open, everybody in there would say, we want the Aryan wait staff. Wouldn't they? Of course they would. Don't ask me. It's a bunch of crap. You should be out of business. All those places should be out of business, in my opinion. But then again, it's not up to me. All right, so this is all part of this discussion, then, of intentional discrimination based on protected group, which is illegal. I want you to be sure to understand that the word discrimination does not mean illegal. Should we talk about that, or do you understand? Why is discrimination not illegal? What does discrimination mean? And this is where your understanding of the word has been colored. What does it mean? If you're discriminating between two pieces of fruit, right? For example, a golden delicious apple and a honey crisp. You're distinguishing between those two.
Making a choice.
Making a choice. You can take the Honey Crisp and get a really, well, you can get a pretty good apple that has pretty good nutritive value, whereas the Golden Delicious, zero nutrient value. Still two apples, but one of them has no nutrient value. Interesting, isn't it? But you're making a choice to choose the one that, A, tastes better and also has higher nutrient value. Cool. All right. That's what discrimination means, to choose. If you're going to leave this room, how are you going to get out? What about the one back there?
Emergency exit.
It goes into another classroom, too. So you'd really look like, go ahead, open it, walk in and say, I'm leaving. I'm walking out on Dr. Fox's class. It's such a waste of time. And see what happens. They'll all laugh at you. You're going, it's the wrong door. So you make a choice of doors, right? You're discriminating between two doors, and you're taking one that'll do the job, get you the hell out of your ASAP. Okay, but the same's true with your employees. You get two applicants, you're going to discriminate based on, hopefully, job skills. Yes? All right, and that's completely legal. It's when the discrimination is based on protected group that it takes the pejorative negative concept that you're so familiar with, but even that's wrong. When it's based on a protected group, it's then illegal. And the word discrimination based on protected group has been pushed into one word, discriminate, and that's wrong. And I want you, at least as an educated individual, to know the difference, even if you don't use the difference. Okay, I can't stand the idea of my students going out ignorant into the world. All right, so be careful about that. All right, so we have then adverse treatment, the idea of one-to-one intentional discrimination based on protected group. We have a limited number of protected groups here. We're going to have some more on into the future, but for the time being, we have the initial five as it stood. This piece of legislation, as it stood, was very easy to understand. We all understand illegal discrimination. We don't look at somebody and say, you know, we're not hiring you based on protected group. We can't say that. It's illegal in most cases, except for the BFOQ, obviously, consideration.
Excuse me for a second. I got a question that I just thought of. If I was like an oil corporation and I'm hiring somebody for a particular company that I'm putting in because my uncle used to go overseas all the time.
Right.
some of those countries discriminate against other people.
This is a typical thing here, and this is usually seen in the Middle Eastern countries when you have someone to send a woman executive over. And you hire a group of women executives, group of male executives to cover various bases in your organization. Then one of them has to go overseas, and you say, you're the next person in line, Mary, go do it. Is the company required to follow American law in terms of deciding who goes overseas?
Yes.
There is no customer preference. No customer preference. Consequently, the overseas representatives of whatever it is, the national dirt pile where you're going to want to drill, right? We don't care what they think. We're sending who we think's the best person to send, regardless of what they want. They can take what they want and put it where the sun don't shine. We're sending our people over based on who we think will be the most appropriate person for that particular job. Period. That's been litigated a good bit, by the by. More interestingly is the idea of ethical behavior and the various ethical laws, ethics laws that we have and whether we need to comply. Quite often, if you don't follow the need for minor corruption overseas, you don't get contracts. But that's another story completely. All right, so what we're looking at here then is this idea of intentional one-to-one, called adverse treatment. What we're going to come up with here and to discuss in length next time is this concept, and I'll talk about it for 10 minutes or so. And that's the concept of adverse impact or disparate impact. It's a lot more complicated. Everybody understands adverse treatment, pretty straightforward. Whereas adverse impact is a lot more difficult to understand and to prove in court, by the by. Adverse impact is the idea that your selection tool indirectly hurts a protected group. What do you mean, Dr. Fox? Be a little bit more explicit. Okay, my selection procedure involves lifting, bench pressing, let's say, 140 pounds 10 times. That's part of my selection procedure. You take a 140-pound barbell, you put it on your chest, and you bench press it 10 times. I think it's necessary because I want healthy people and a few other odds and ends. What's going to happen in terms of the end illegally discriminatory potential for this test? Who is not going to be hired?
Women,
as I say, except for the occasional Brunhilde, right? They're not going to be able to bench press 140 pounds 10 times. So you are going to effectively discriminate against a protected group indirectly. So adverse impact then is indirect. It's group-based. In other words, all women get hurt by it. And it's often unintentional. Adverse impact, as you can see, is a lot more tricky. Think about this as a case. We had an automobile dealership, and we had in the office staff a lot of women who would occasionally have to go out onto the shop floor and get paperwork for hours spent on a particular job, fixing somebody's car, jacking up the radiator cap and putting a new car under it. That's what I heard on my last trip to the garage. You might as well just jack up the radiator cap and put a new car under it. Okay, I'm getting another 10 years out of it. I don't care what you say. All right, so these women would go out onto the shop floor, and what did they see? Who supplies the tools to the mechanics?
Snap-on,
keep going, Husky, Mac, and all of them. They all have racy calendars with beautiful young women wearing practically nothing but a torque wrench, and they place these calendars in their work spot. So they can look up and say, oh, I'm just so excited about my new Mac torque wrench, right? while the women would go out on the floor from the secretarial area or the administrative area, and they would see this, and they were upset by it. And because they were upset by it, and the company wouldn't change anything, they said, we're being illegally, adversely impacted by this process. It's a form of sexual harassment, obviously. And so we don't like it. We are being hurt by this. And because we're being hurt by it, we can't do our jobs correctly, and we don't get good performance evaluations, et cetera, et cetera. Kind of interesting. And it was supported. So, adverse impact becomes quite a complicated process when you have something like, let's say, an IQ test. And the IQ test seems to be hurting Hispanics or African Americans or whatever. These things, almost all testing that isn't obviously job-related has the potential for being illegally adversely impacting a group. The only way that adverse impact is acceptable, don't, damn it, go to sleep on me. Should I do what Steve Taylor, my friend, does? He makes his class stand up at usually about this time in the afternoon and makes them all do jumping jacks, 10 jumping jacks to wake them all up. I thought it was a great idea. I haven't ever done it, but I always liked the idea. If your adverse impact test is not job-related, it's not going to be acceptable. And we're going to go over that in some detail the next time we're here, because the landmark case in this is called Griggs versus Duke Power. Yes, our beloved Duke Power, that warm and friendly institution that we all love so much. What
was that, like
Griggs?
Griggs.
Willie Griggs. Griggs versus Duke Power, a landmark case that creates this new idea of illegal discrimination based on indirect discrimination, where a selection tool hurts one protected group more than another. Interesting. And in the process of understanding this, you'll get a much better understanding of the concept of illegal discrimination, and I can guarantee you that if you went out and asked several business people about this, they wouldn't know their elbow from a hole in the ground about this concept. So I'm encouraging you to understand this because it'll make you a more knowledgeable individual. Meanwhile, go home. Get back here alive on Tuesday. Be careful. Don't do anything dumb. If you're not sure, say, would Dr. Fox do this with his beautiful granddaughter with him? Of course I would. I'd get back safely and securely. Frankie and Jared together. That's it. Thank you.